Going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10, and we've been here, and we've been here recently. We were here back in February when we were looking at 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. But I wanted to go back to 1 Peter 5, 10 because there's more there. There's so much more there that was not covered in that sermon back in February. So tonight we're in 1 Peter chapter 5, looking at verse 10. And a bit of background, this is Peter's letter to the diaspora. They, like a number of early churches and early believers, were suffering intense persecution. And this is an epistle, a letter about finding hope in the midst of suffering. And in chapter 5, Peter begins to wrap up the letter by giving instruction to the elders, of which our verse, verse 10, is a part of. Back in February, we were looking at the patience of Jesus, and that was through verses 6 through 11. But what we're going to be looking at tonight, specifically in verse 10, is encouragement. The idea that the promises of God act as an encouragement to us as believers. And I thought that that would be perfect for a Sunday evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that it is so layered and so detailed and so accurate to our lives, even 2,000 years later. I pray that tonight this message would resound with your saints, that we would approach it with open hearts and open minds and take from it what the Holy Spirit would like for us to take from it. We will give you all of the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a little tired tonight. I apologize for that. We were down. What's that, Pastor Jay? Quite a day, that's true. We were down this morning. We were up this morning. I'm standing on my head, so down is up and up is down. We were up this morning in Gaylord, preaching at, of all places, Calvary Baptist Church of Gaylord. And now I feel like I'm in an episode of The Twilight Zone. We are at Calvary Baptist Church of Lansing and happy to be here with you. We really missed you guys this morning. God promises unwavering support for His children, especially when we become weary, when we become despondent, and when we become depressed. The Bible affirms God's encouragement to us. If we are counted among His saints, and in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, certainly, but also many other passages, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, serve as encouragement for us. In Psalm 10, 17 and 18, it says, "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause their ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, and the man of the earth may oppress no more." And I just realized I haven't read our passage. So let's look at 1 Peter 5, verse 10. And it says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." What a powerful verse, just that one. And that's why I really wanted to come back here. Because not that we glossed over it, but there is so much in this one verse. God is so amazing. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. I picked up Abby from school this past week. We were going to an appointment, and again, I didn't ask her to use her in this illustration, so I owe her some money. But I picked Abby up from school, and we were on our way to an appointment, and the solar eclipse was nearing the peak of its complete coverage of the sun. And here in Michigan, in our section of it, it wasn't totality, but it was pretty close. And so she had these glasses that they had given her at school, and we actually pulled off the road into the parking lot of a Methodist church, but that's okay, of a church, and we got out and we were looking at the eclipse with these glasses when, you know, the moon had passed between the earth and the sun. And like I said, we didn't have full coverage here in Michigan, but enough to make it interesting. And as Abby and I were watching it, we were just kind of chatting to one another. And I was thinking about how God creates and controls the entire universe. He created it, He set it in motion, and He sustains it. And just the complexity and the perfection that is only possible because of who God is. And at the same time, God created and runs that universe and does it flawlessly. He made it so that we would have the warmth of the sun, and especially today, we have that warmth of the sun. When we left Gaylord, it was like 61 degrees, and as we traveled further south, we just watched that thermometer tick up, and we were cheering the whole way. We got down here, and it was in the 80s, so praise God for the sun's warmth, right? He gives us air to breathe. The God that did all that thought to save us. Who are we that we deserve that? We don't deserve that. And when we recognize that God created all of this, and yet to us He is a personal and loving God and chose each one of us individually. You know, we have a God that is big enough to be completely flawless in His plans and His will and His execution of that, that stars still shine and the moons and the planets are still moving around flawlessly, yet He is personal enough to know each and every one of us intimately. He knows the hairs on our heads, every single one. It gets easier and easier with me every year, but that's another sermon. So we can understand that God is infinite, but we don't grasp the totality of that, of what it really means or how truly amazing it is. But Scripture can help us with that. In Acts 20, verse 32, it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." That is the blessing that we have as believers, that this God who is so awesome and runs everything but knows us is able to, by His grace, through the Word, through His actions in our lives, His interventions and His plans and His will, are able to build us up and encourage us each and every day. God loves us and is faithful in continually encouraging us. And there are two ways in which He does this. I touched on one of them. He does this through His Word. He does this through His Word, and He does this through the Holy Spirit that we each have indwelling in us if we are saved. You know, we oftentimes talk in Christian circles about how we don't understand how those who are lost can make it in this world when there is so much going on and it all seems to be falling apart, yet we have the faith and the assurance and the encouragement of God through His Word and through the Holy Spirit. Now, we often talk about the importance of time spent with God in His Word. The Bible tells us of the importance of this time with God. And I spoke a while back, this is probably going back a couple of years, of how when I first got involved in the ministry, I started reading the Bible more than I had. It was more than just my daily devotionals because I was preparing sermons and I was preparing classes and I was doing all of this stuff and I was going to seminary at the same time. But what I had missed out on were those personal daily devotions, because I thought in my mind, I'm doing so much for God. I'm preparing for this class. I'm preparing this sermon. I've got this class in theology. I'm reading the Bible more than I ever have. But I wasn't doing it for me. I wasn't spending time in the Word just to spend time with God. And that is so vitally important to us as believers. No matter what else we've got going on, if we're not spending time with God in a personal devotion with His Word, then we are missing out on something. And it took me a couple of months, some pretty dense sometimes, but I started to realize I'm doing all of this and I'm not feeling the joy that I should be feeling in doing all of this. I'm not feeling that close connection with God, and I started suffering because of it. Personal time with God, as I said, is essential to us if we are believers. Not just for our spiritual walk, though that is very important, but also for our physical and mental well-being and for those around us. I live in a household with a beautiful wife and a beautiful daughter, and if I'm not spending time, if they don't see me spending time or have the benefit of that time I spend with God, they're missing out as well. My work here could be suffering as well. So, you know, it's not just all about us, but it's also about those around us that miss out when we miss out on that time with God. In Joshua 1, 8 and 9, God is speaking to Joshua and He says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That is God, through the daily meditation on His Word, encouraging Joshua and everything that God had for him to do before him. God is literally being an encouragement in His instruction to him. Be strong, of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. That is something we can say to ourselves every morning, can't we? We can go to that passage in Joshua and read that and know, yes, it applies to Joshua, but we believe in the same God that Joshua did, and thereby extension, it applies to us as well. What a blessing that is. And we don't have to be the leader of the Israelites to receive that blessing. All we have to do is believe in God. And we have that encouragement and that love and that focus of our Lord. All we have to do is be a believer, and all we need is the Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word. The Word of God uplifts us and sustains us as believers. It is God's revelation to us. There are many passages in the Word of God that are a source of encouragement to us. Remember this, God speaks to His children through His Word. In Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8, it says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, "In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." We will probably, hopefully, never face what Moses and Joshua faced in leading that nation of Israel. But the same God that encouraged them encourages us. We think of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, and how many times did He tell His disciples, "Be of good cheer, let your heart not be dismayed, do not be afraid." You know, as we get older and older, you know, there's that old joke. You ask a person who is mature in years what they're afraid of, and they will tell you everything. But that is not us. That is not what God has called us to be. We are not to have a heart of fear. The Word of God is a great encouragement to us because God Himself speaks to us through His Word. God, through His Word, has said to be of good cheer. Let not your heart be dismayed. And again, do not be afraid. By extension, it applies to each and every one of His children. It is the encouragement that we receive from God's holy word that sometimes gives us the very will to carry on. It offers us a glimpse of the eternal picture, and this can prevent burnout. It can guard against giving credence to sin's deceitfulness, and it encourages us to experience life as a believer and that life much more abundantly. That is what Jesus spoke about. So God's word is full of encouragement. We also gain encouragement, though, through the Holy Spirit which dwells within us. In John 14, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper." This is Jesus speaking. "And He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. For He dwells with you and will be in you." That is such a blessing for every believer. Jesus knew He wasn't going to be able to stay on the earth with them, that He was going to be ascending to the Father, but He promised a helper to come and help not only the disciples, not only the apostles, but each and every believer. The moment we get saved, we are blessed with the indwelling Holy Spirit that acts as an encouragement and a guide and a comfort and a blessing and a helper. That helper that Jesus had promised. The word of John here is using the Spirit. In the Greek, it means counselor. And a counselor can also be translated as one who encourages or comforts. Now, I, through my education and through different experiences that I've had, have been blessed to have many people I would consider as a counselor in my life. And the role of a counselor is always to be of help to the one being counseled. That is the role of the counselor. The counselor is to help. The Holy Spirit serves the role, as Jesus said, of a helper, of a counselor. Another way that God's encouragement can be experienced is through the words and the actions of others. The words and the actions of others, other believers in Christ. And I can't think of a better one in my life than my buddy Brian, who's been a source of great encouragement to me over the years. We've known each other now for over 30 years, and we offer help to each other almost daily in our walk. Often it's something simple like just checking in. I'll send him a text in the morning, "Hey brother, how you doing? What's going on in your life?" Other times he'll call or I'll call him and we'll just talk through what's going on. What challenges are you facing? His wife currently is very sick and he's taking care of her. You know, I have struggles in the ministry and we talk through those. He is a true brother in Christ in every sense of the word and a great source of encouragement to me. And I pray that I am a great source of encouragement to him. 2 Corinthians 7:13, Paul writing about the exceeding joy he had from the church in Corinth. "Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort. And we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all." That was a church that had encouraged Titus. That was a church that had encouraged Titus. "You guys encourage me I pray that I am an encouragement to you. When we went to this church down in Gaylord, up in Gaylord, I'm standing on my head again. When we were up in Gaylord, well, if you go far enough south, you'll hit Gaylord eventually. But when we were up in Gaylord, that church is in the process of seeking a pastor. And we recognized that we were not that pastor. Wasn't candidating up there, was just filling the pulpit. But they were such a blessing and such an encouragement, and they were so happy that we were there. Just to spend time with them and to fellowship with them, and it reminded me of my congregation here, and I missed you guys so much this morning, you have no idea. So, we are, as believers, to be an encouragement to one another. It's not just the congregation encouraging the pastor, or the pastor encouraging the congregation, but you are all brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm a brother in Christ to you. We are to encourage one another, to uplift one another, to love one another. Have you ever known someone that just by their conduct, their actions towards one another, that they were a blessing to you? It can just be maybe you're having a low day and somebody says, "Brother, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I love you." Or, "Sister, I'm praying that everything's going okay." Or, "How are you doing?" Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." That is what we are. If we are among the believers, if we are among the saints of God, we are to let our light shine so that when people see how we are acting, they don't see us, they see God working through us. His power, His love, His blessing being poured out. God can and does work His blessings and His encouragement through us at times. And that is one of, aside from salvation, that is one of the greatest blessings of being a child of God. Of being a believer, the times when people see God working through us. The Bible is filled with examples of people encouraging others. I think of Paul when he was shipwrecked. They appeared to be in such a desperate situation. The ship that they were on was going down. There was a mighty storm blowing. Paul was not worried. One, because he had a strong faith, and two, because he had the authority from God and the message from God that it would all work out. Not one would perish. You know, in Acts 27:22, Paul talking to the crew and the other passengers. Now imagine this situation. You're on a ship. It's going down. The storm is powerful. It's all around you. You're done. You think this is the very end. And then you have somebody on the crew say this to you. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." Paul had that blessing and that love and that encouragement from God, and he shared that with those around him. Now, you probably either think that he was crazy or that he was a prophet of God. One or the other. You can't have it, you know, any other way than that. But then imagine what a witness that was to those crewmen when there was no more loss of life after that, when they did pull it through. If we were in that situation, about to go to the bottom, we might think that Paul was crazy, but I'm willing to bet that we would also hope that he was right. I think of Jesus and his disciples crossing the Sea of Galilee when the storm came up, pitch black, boat filling up with water. Jesus is asleep. They literally have to wake up their Lord and Savior. And what does he say to them? "Do not fear." And then he proceeds to rebuke the wind and the waves. God is the God of love. God is the God of holiness. And God is the God of encouragement. He does not wish ill for His children. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus in John 16 told His followers that there would be trouble. In this life, I tell you the same, there will be trouble that we will have to face. But then Jesus offers encouragement. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Jesus is greater than anything that we face, anything that we will face, and that is the greatest encouragement to anyone who has ever been through anything, to anyone who will go through anything. That is the Lord that we serve, our Lord Jesus, who wants to love, who wants to bless, who wants to encourage us. According to the Bible, what are the effects of being encouraged by the Lord? We have a glimpse of it in Isaiah 40, verses 30 through 31. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. As believers, God is the source of our encouragement. He is faithful in continually helping us to be encouraged. We can be an encouragement to one another through God, through His Word, and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ around us. Along with that, we can and should be used of God to reach out to those that are lost, that they might see Christ in us and seek after Him. Let's flip over. Just in closing, I want to offer us a final prayer of encouragement. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. A final prayer of encouragement from Paul. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17. And just listen to these words. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, You are the God of all encouragement. You are the God of love. You love us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son to the cross so that we could reestablish what was lost in the fall. His death, burial, and resurrection was a high, high price to pay, but He willingly paid it for us. I pray now as we leave, as we sing the hymn and we go out, that we will recognize opportunities in our life to encourage those around us, both our brothers and sisters in the faith and those who do not know You as Lord and Savior. Let our light shine for You. Let them see You working in our lives. And let us be an encouragement to one another as You are so great an encouragement to us. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.